What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, BCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Patrick Wood is going to join us, and then after Patrick Wood, we'll be joined by Leo Homan. Leo Homan will join us. Well, Davos is underway. Davos is underway, and these guys are wanting to control every aspect of our life. Stakeholder capitalism, not shareholder, but stakeholder, which means everybody has a stake in the environment. You know, so it's redistribution of wealth. It's you're going to own nothing and be happy by 2030. It's just ridiculous what's happening. We'll get into it. Green energy. The green energy is costing us a fortune, and it costs a lot more to do the green energy than it's worth. And a lot of new articles this morning up at worldviewreport.com. Worldviewreport.com. No savings with green energy. It's 4 to 6 times more expensive. Click on that. Brings you to an article by our guest, Patrick Wood, over at technocracy.news. Patrick, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good to be with you again.
Well, thank you. No, thank you. Guys, we should have a graphic for television for him. So let's get into some of these crazy comments and crazy things being said. But first, I want to get your take on the smallpox, because that's obviously the story so many people are talking about. And you've written a brand new article about this. Not smallpox, monkeypox. Tell me your thoughts on this, Patrick.
Yeah, monkeypox. You know, it's been scripted, apparently, by a tabletop exercise, like Event 201, where all these highfalutin mucky mucks, like from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and John Hopkins Hospital and, you know, all the usual suspects, they get together and they have these simulations on what might happen if something really, really bad breaks loose. And this last one last year that was put out, I know you've done already quite a bit of work on this. This report that was put out in last year describes to a T, using the name monkeypox, what we're dealing with right now, what we see coming through the news and so on. And it was predicted in that simulation that the initial attack would occur this month. And within one day of the attack, within one day, the World Health Organization announces monkeypox is on the scene. It's just, you can't make this up. They prophesied it last year in 2021. The date was May 15, 2022. It was predicted to be the first announcement of monkeypox.
Right.
Then it goes on from there. So far, we have basically the same thing happening that happened with COVID-19 in the first place. And it's been scripted out very carefully. Probably it's not going to follow that script 100%, but nevertheless, it's very disturbing, and they're doing it to us again. And I hope enough people will see through this time that they just flat out reject the whole thing and tell them to go home and shut up and get away from it.
Go home and shut up. Oh, and by the way, let me just mention yesterday for those, because after I got off the air yesterday, I asked my wife, Did you hear what that caller said? And she heard one word but didn't hear the other. And then a friend of mine, my old youth pastor, said, what did he say? I said, no, you couldn't hear. And he didn't get the context at all. So anyway, yesterday when I called that one caller an idiot, just so you guys know, he was using graphic language. And he called in, he lies to the call screener, he comes on acting like he's all for us, and then he starts being graphic. And what he's trying to do is just be, you know, perverted over the airwaves. And he was just a disruptor. So anyway, for those who wondered why I called the guy an idiot, that was exactly why. You guys didn't hear what he had said because we dumped him, but I was responding to his gross language. All right. So anyway, a couple of my friends said, you should probably explain to the audience why you called that guy.
I'll watch my language, okay? I get it.
No, you're fine. I just, so a couple of my friends said, maybe explain, because some people, they didn't get the context why you went off on that guy, because they didn't hear it, because you weren't supposed to hear it, because we dubbed him. But anyway, all right, got that out of the way. So do you think people are going to fall for this? I mean, this is, like Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again. This is like election fraud 2.0. Are they going to get away with it this time, or are the American people going to say, no way, we're not having it?
You know, I just don't know. I'm quite disturbed with the American people in general right now that most are just not getting it. It's almost like they're hypnotized into, I don't know, thinking that they're clucking chicken or something, but they're not paying attention to this stuff. They should be.
Well, I don't. I've actually asked some people about, you know, when I don't go out very much. I pretty much live in the studio, but I did get out one day and I asked people, have you heard of monkeypox? That none of them knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
None of them knew what I was talking
about. Well, they will soon enough.
Yeah, they will. The thing about that's what I said. Just wait. You'll know about it. Just wait. So, I'm sorry I interrupted you. So, where do you see this going? What I mean, you've been traveling with Dr. Judy Mikovits. She's going to be on with me tonight as well. What are you seeing? What are you guys talking about as you travel and hold your events?
Well, the whole mix of these, the vaccines, the virus issue, and, you know, is it engineered? Is it bioengineered? Is it not bioengineered? All of these things hide one great grand scheme, and that is that these technocratic, big pharma, globalist, elite-type people have solid control, at least they think they do. They have solid control of the world and the world stage, and now the health system. And they're using this as a gigantic profit-making scheme where they will win no matter what we do at this point. They'll still have enough needles and injections and et cetera. Most of the money comes from governments. They don't make it from people. Most people don't pay for a vaccine these days. You get it free somewhere. Well, the government's paying for that. So they've got these contracts with governments, and they're milking the taxpayer system all over the planet to pull out money for these vaccines that they're marketing. So they have great incentive to keep playing this the same play, apparently, until it doesn't produce any more revenue for them, and then maybe they'll give it up. But right now we can see it coming. It's the same thing. You know, it's kind of like the football team. You know, when they get one play that really that really fools the other side, they try to use that play then about six times in a row, and finally they get wise to it and they can't use it anymore. Maybe that will happen with this eventually, but if people don't resist and say, "I'm not putting up with this nonsense anymore," they will just continue to get away with what they're getting away with, and it's at this point it really is just highway robbery. If people had to pay for their own shots, they would not take these shots, period. You know they wouldn't.
Right.
But when you can get them free, and get protection too, they say.
Well, you know the old
people
saying.
People say, well, yeah, I'll go for free.
You know, the old saying, if it's free, I'll take two, right?
That's right.
Now they're taking
exactly
three.
Right.
Now they're taking three or four, meaning shots.
I think Sweden just announced they shot number five.
And what about the kids? I mean, you're hearing the Pfizer announces it's satisfied with the clinical trials, will push three doses of COVID vaccine for under 5 years old.
Absolutely insane. What is doing overall? People argue whether, well, the virus isn't real, it doesn't exist, or it does exist. And, you know, all these arguments are just immaterial. It's wrecking people's immune systems. What it's doing. And every time your immune system takes a hit, more people are going to get sick and die. Just that simple. That's what AIDS was all about. You know, it wasn't that AIDS was the disease, but it destroyed your immune system to the point where you contracted all these other dread diseases, which usually ended up killing you.
Yeah, a lot of times they died of pneumonia or something, not AIDS.
That's right, or cancer or some other, you know, internal injury to an organ or something like that. But these shots across the board are creating immune systems, compromised immune systems, that are opening up the door for all kinds of other things to happen to them. And this is so well documented at this point, Brandon. It's not even funny. I know there's detractors. People will say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I'll tell you what. Yes, we do. There are hundreds and hundreds of doctors and scientists that have documented this now.
Yep.
But people just, the propaganda is so strong, people just listen to the propaganda instead of the real science behind it.
Yep. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to start launching into some clips coming out of Davos. What are you hearing about what's coming out of there so far?
Well, there's a couple of really interesting things to me. I watched the technical side of it, of course, but I had to focus on Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger's there, 98 years old, and interestingly, he's sticking his nose into it. He says Ukraine has to give up Russian territory if you want to survive.
I saw that.
So the biggest thing, Brandon, is Accenture, the giant globalist consulting firm. They have 100,000 employees, and Accenture said, and this is a direct quote, the metaverse has a ton of potential, and it could prove to be beneficial in many domains. 100,000 Accenture employees would be integrated into the Accenture metaverse over time.
Wow.
This is a mind blower.
So explain to our audience what that means.
Well, the metaverse is what kind of backed up Mark Zuckerberg's changing his name of the main company from Facebook to Meta.
Mm-hmm.
But the metaverse is a virtual reality world where you have to put on goggles and, you know, special 3D goggles, and you get immersed into this world that's run by AI that roughly models the real world. You just think back to the old game Pokemon Go, where mm-hmm. people were walking around with their phones, you know, looking for these little monsters and stuff everywhere. But the metaverse is kind of a fake reality that allows people to enter in and with a persona. You don't have to be yourself. You can have an avatar, or you could be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But companies like Accenture are embracing the metaverse, where there are no laws, there is no moral constraints whatsoever, there's no ethical constraints either, and people can pretty much do whatever they want to do without any threat of criminal prosecution. And so it's no wonder already that many women have reported being assaulted in the metaverse and being attacked, even though, you know, you can't feel the attacker's hands. Psychologically, you can. It's like, okay, I get it. It's like the old Wild West, where you can do whatever the heck you want to do with no consequences. But the corporate world at the World Economic Forum, they are embracing this metaverse concept. So maybe Mark Zuckerberg knew something before everybody else when he changed his company's name to Meta.
Absolutely fascinating. So, by the way, let me just mention as we go into break, if you go to WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, it's all one word, just WVWTVstore.com, you will see now we have the WVW Foundation Luncheon on Saturday. We have the WVW Ozark Banquet Concert on Thursday night. These are optional. Then we have the WVW Worldview Weekend General Seating, and then the Priority Seating. So it's whichever one you want, Priority or General. But the speakers, if you click on one of them, and then you'll see right there, Dr. Peter McCullough, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Patrick Wood, my guest now, Annie Cyrus, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Andy Woods, Mr. Terry Turchi, who is the former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, Leo Holman, Karen Kingston. This is our lineup. This is absolutely incredible lineup. They're all there in person. Beautiful Ozarks, Worldview Weekend. This is our 19th annual one. Full details, you guys been waiting to register. It will sell out. All the details at WVWTVstore.com. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. My guest is Patrick Wood, and then in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Leo Holman. Well, let's get started because these guys over there at Davos, the World Economic Forum, they've got their conference going on right now, and they are, well, telling us that they control the future. But before I go to that clip, Patrick, I have warned this audience that I don't want a civil war. A civil war, it would be horrific for this nation. And I do have the word civil war, the coming civil war, in my documentary, Siege, that came out in December of 2019. So I was warning in the documentary subtitle about World War III, globalism, civil war. But I'm kind of to the point now where I don't believe we're likely to get out of this without a civil war. Or even if it's civil war is already underway. As we open that documentary with Daniel Greenfield, he says, you know, people think a civil war is people shooting at each other. He says, no, that's how a civil war ends. We're already in a civil war. Our government has declared war against the American people. They're waging against us. We have people that have invaded this country from outside that are trying to bring this country down. We have enemies, foreign and domestic. I don't know, maybe there's a better word than civil war, but we've certainly got a revolution going, and I do think we have a civil war going on at the same time, as well as World War III. These all things are going, attacking us from without, attacking us from within. I'm not so sure we're going to get out of this without having to resort to a civil war, as is allowed by the U.S. Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, to defend ourselves from tyranny. I don't know that there's that this group is already. Look, we wouldn't be involved in a war of offense. We'd be involved in a war of defense. The other side has already declared war on us, internally and externally. I don't know that we're going to get out of this unless we finally say we're not going to comply. And again, the Founding Fathers are like, we don't shoot first, but when they start shooting at us, we're going to defend ourselves. Again, I don't know how to put this in modern terms, but at some point, if resisting is classified by them as a civil war or being a domestic terrorist, so be it. But at some point, I don't see getting out of this unless we resist, which means we have to defend ourselves, which is why we have a Second Amendment to start with. I'm not calling for it. I'm not wanting it. I'm just saying these people are militarizing the government. They've destroyed our military. They're openly talking about using the National Guard at one point against school boards. I don't know if you saw that or not, but some of these leftists were openly talking about using the National Guard against school board parents, you know, who complained to the school board. They're militarizing our police. They're labeling us as domestic terrorists. They're setting up inside the Department of Justice already a hate crimes unit to investigate people deemed guilty of hate crimes. This is, again, in my news report tonight, Worldview Report, my news report tonight. So they can say the disinformation board, that's not going to happen. No, it's happening. They're just going to move it into and funding it with millions and millions of dollars now, as I will reveal tonight on the news, inside the Department of Justice to investigate hate crimes. Well, who defines what is a hate crime, for Pete's sake? So again, long statement, long question, but I really am not sure we can get out of this without seeing us having as a free people to resort to defending ourselves against their armed aggression against the American people or bioweapon attack on the American people. What say you?
Well, the proof of this is that the First Amendment has been under intense attack, especially since COVID started in 2020, in January 2020. These attacks on the First Amendment to shut people up and to exclude people from the official globalist narrative, this is a clear marker of attack, of revolution that's being foisted upon the peoples of the world, not just the United States, it's everywhere. The attack on free speech is absolutely the biggest pandemic we've ever seen, at least in the last couple hundred years. Before that, of course, they didn't have television and radio and stuff like that, but we do now. And so in that progression, if the First Amendment is lost effectively, if people are censored to death and they literally cannot declare their peril, then the Second Amendment is where you end up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was put into the Constitution, and they knew it. They talked about it openly, that the first defense against revolution, whatever it might be, is free speech. The second defense against revolution is armed conflict. And you're right. None of us want that. We don't want to see it. That's one reason I've been hopping up and down so much about free speech recently, for the last few years especially. And that's one reason why we started Citizens for Free Speech, to say, hey, people, you need to reclaim and start exercising your rights to free speech, and don't shut up. I know you're not one that's ever going to shut up, neither am I. But I know you've been preaching this message to your audience just like I have. You've got to open your mouth and not be intimidated by these people, because we're already at war. It's just a matter of degree at this point.
So are you agreeing with me that you don't see the country getting out of this without a civil war?
The only thing that can save us is the proper exercise of free speech. Otherwise, that's where we end up, is meeting the Second Amendment in a very ugly way.
So if they don't allow us to speak, if they start charging us with hate crime for speaking the truth, then you're left with no option, because the only alternative is they charge you with a hate crime and start arresting people.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's why this is so dangerous. This is an existential threat to our nation right now, and to a lot of the world too, but especially to us. If they're successful at prosecuting, using the police power to prosecute hate crimes that they make up, that aren't hate crimes at all, just what they say is a hate crime, then people are going to start getting arrested and get thrown in jail. And I might just remind people that, you know, a lot of those people from January 6th of last year are still in jail without being charged. And they're just rotting away in jail for, you know, who knows what crime. But this is very dangerous precedent. If they get away with this, there's going to be a lot of people that will be going to jail, and that will really make the rest of the populace upset when they see people, you know, popular journalists, et cetera, being taken off to jail.
Well, yesterday we saw Jack Posobiec being detained for a period of time, and maybe our audience doesn't know who he is, but he's a new, you know, he's part of the new media, the new digital media, and he has a huge following on digital media. And he took his film crew and went to Davos, and General Flynn was on with me last night on TV, and General Flynn said, you know, here's Jack Posobiec and his team having lunch at a cafe. Next thing you know, they're being detained by the I don't know, Davos police force or whatever they are. But, I mean, right. They've already grabbed James O'Keefe, arrested, you know, basically, well, they didn't, I guess, quote, arrest him, but they really did. They handcuffed him, roughed him up, slammed against the wall, intimidated him. They're doing this to other people, kicking down doors of people that are involved in questioning school boards and critical race theory and masking children. So this, it's already begun.
Yes, it really has. And I've said this, for a long time. I know you've heard me say it, that we are at war. I think it was 2015 that I originally said that we're declaring war on technocracy, not because we want to declare war on anybody, but they declared war on us, and we're merely responding by declaring it to be a state of war.
Right.
And we've been fighting for our life ever since 2015, and the hot war broke out, if you will, in January of 2020 with COVID. Yeah. I think that was a coup d'etat that turned it into more of a hot war, if you will, than just a passive war, you know, kind of operating in the background.
Absolutely.
But now we see it. Now we see it everywhere we look. All this stuff that's taking place right now is engineered to destroy the will of the people. You know, all the stuff is happening. Gas prices going up, inflation, you know, real estate prices, stock market's going into a bear market now, probably, you know, recession, if not into depression. There are so many things going on. Disease, of course, too. Now monkeypox. This all has the effect of breaking the will of a people. This is a very common wartime technique, by the way. Break the will of the people, and they will stop fighting. Mm. We must resist this. We must stand up.
I'm going to announce this to the audience now for the first time, and you'll hear it too, Patrick. But I, yesterday morning, I interviewed for 30 minutes George Coker. George Coker, folks, if you remember me talking about him last week or 2 weeks ago, was one of the 11 men taken from the Hanoi Hilton along with Jeremiah Denton. His life story and the story of those other 10 men, which is the Alcatraz 11, was in the movie that I watched when it premiered in 1979. I watched it sitting there in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. as a 10-year-old in 1979 when hell was in session. Jeremiah Denton was the longest-held prisoner of war during Vietnam. George Coker was held for over 6 years. These men were mercilessly tortured. One of them died. He didn't make it out due to his untreated injuries and whatnot. There's only three of them left alive, and one of them I interviewed yesterday morning, George Coker, for 30 minutes. It will be a part of my documentary, Brainwashed America, Part 2, that will be out this fall. We've already heavy into production now, and so it will be out this fall. And I interviewed him for 30 minutes, and we talked extensively, Patrick, about apathy, passivity. We talked about communication, organization, which equals resistance, which equals hope. And without that communication, organization, resistance, there's no hope. And then you have apathy and passivity. And as you say, you've now broken the people and they surrender. So we're all singing from the same songbook. Without even knowing that I'm discussing these things with a POW that was specifically involved in being hauled away from the other population, from Hanoi Hilton to what they called Alcatraz, because they were resisting. They were resisting. They were communicating. They were saying, don't be passive. Don't be apathetic. Don't give in. Don't surrender. They had to move those people away. That's what we're seeing now. They're going after people in conservative media. They will continue to do so. They want to break them and move them away from the population. And as we found in the Korean War, all they had to do is move 5% of those leaders away from the other POWs, and that 95% of the American POWs would surrender to them.
Yes. Yes. Incredible. Same game plan, different time.
Here's Klaus Schwab. Let me have you hear this and respond, then Leo's going to join us.
Let's also be clear. The future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the states of the world. But two conditions are necessary. The first one is that we act all as stakeholders of larger communities, that we serve not our only self-interests, but we serve the community. That's what we call stakeholder responsibility. And second, that we collaborate. And this is the reason why you find many opportunities here during the meeting to engage into very action and impact-oriented initiatives to make progress related to specific issues on the global agenda.
And of course, Patrick, closing comment, he says, we will build the future. The future is being built by us. Klaus Schwab.
Yes. I'm sorry, Klaus, but the future is not yours to build. It belongs to us, natively, intrinsically, and even divinely speaking. The future belongs to us, not to them. And that's the first thing we need to reject, is their right to build any future for anyone except themselves.
Technocracy.news, technocracy.news. Patrick, thanks for all you're doing over there. Appreciate your being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
He's on a tight schedule with lots of interviews. Joining us next will be Leo Holman. He's also been monitoring the Davos meeting, and he'll report to us right after this. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Leo Holman is going to join us here in just a second. Interviewing General Michael Flynn last night, and he said something I've not heard him say before, and that is that we are living in the last few seconds of freedom if things don't change. If things don't change, we're living in the last few seconds of freedom. We're getting that close. It's amazing the things this administration is getting away with. I wonder, where are the members of Congress screaming and hollering and jumping up and down? I don't know of even one U.S. senator that was opposing what's going on at the WHO right now. We're getting word that maybe some of those amendments won't make it. We pray that's the case. But have you seen any U.S. senators screaming and hollering about this? And if you have, it's only been in the last few days, so that it never really penetrated the media hardly, because I haven't. I saw one U.S. congressman finally mentioning something. One. I know former congresspeople, but current? Let's go to worldviewreport.com real quick. Worldviewreport.com. Here are the news stories we're tracking over there today. No savings with green energy. It's 4 to 6 times more expensive. So then why are they doing it? A, they're stupid. That's Romans 1. Well, Romans 1, when God gives over a nation, it's evident because you end up with stupid people ruling you. Vain. The word is fools, a nation of fools. Vain, useless, and futile. So why would you do this, green energy, when it's 4 to 6 times more expensive? Because A, you're a fool. B, you worship nature. So you're into the worship of nature. Pantheism, all is God. Pantheism, God is in all. It's all about the Gaia earth worship, nature. It's also about socialism. It's about follow the money. It's the same way they say climate change, global warming, when there are warming and cooling cycles. We're not going to die from man-made global warming. It's not going to happen. Not man-made. God-made. It's into the world. God will burn up the world. Absolutely. I think that's 2 Peter. But there is no such thing as man-made global warming. It's a scam to get money, to redistribute the money. The carbon tax is a gigantic scam. You'll have to offset your carbon footprint. You'll have to buy credits from these companies. These companies are tied to the government, and they're tied to a big business. That's your communitarianism, big government, big business. It's a scam. Like the Federal Reserve is a scam. This will be a scam. And we know it's a scam because it's all based on not science. It's all based on a scam. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a gigantic scheme. So that's over there today. Here's one. Biden takes blind sheik's terror group off terror list. Now, again, don't tell me this guy is not working for the Marxist and the Islamist, for the red-green axis. Biden takes blind sheik's terror group off the terror list. This is by my friend Daniel Greenfield. I'm trying to get him on TV tonight. In 1993, the United States finally arrested Omar Abdel Rahman, popularly known as the Blind Sheik. The religious leader of the Egyptian jihadist group Gamat Islami, how you ever say it, after 3 years during which his followers bombed the World Trade Center and plotted to bomb the Statue of Liberty and a range of targets all across New York City. The Biden administration has now announced that it's taking this group, his terror group, the Blind Sheik's group, off the terror list. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? During the original jihad in New York, an undercover informant described meetings to case potential targets in which a member of the terrorist cells told him, quote, "Stand here, brother. Let me take your picture with the Statue of Liberty because it will not exist anymore," end quote. And quote, "Brother, let me take your picture with the World Trade Center because it will not be here anymore," end quote. Quote, "The Jews and Christians are the ones that are fighting every Muslim resurrection," end quote. This is what the imprisoned sheikh later urged. Quote, "Oh, Muslims everywhere, cut the transportation of their countries, tear it apart, destroy their economy, burn their companies, eliminate their interest, sink their ships, shoot down their planes, kill them on the sea, air, or land," end quote. Well, I guess if you got to build back better, you have to destroy it. Maybe we're going to use the Muslims to do it. What did I tell you guys years ago? and a series of radio shows and TV shows. The Islamists are the junkyard dogs that they're letting off the leash. The Islamists are the junkyard dogs that they're letting off the leash to destroy America. The Marxists and the Islamists, the green, red-green axis, the junkyard dogs, the globalists will let off the leash to destroy the system. Then when they're done, they'll shove them aside and have the new system that will not be based on straight Marxism. It will be based on a mixture of socialism with capitalism called communitarianism, Fabian socialism. But you first have to build back better. Before you can build back, you've got to destroy it. Well, since most of these globalists hate the traditional Jews and certainly hate the Christians, they're great assassins for them. They're using the Islamists as their assassins. And you say, well, some of these people have Jewish last names. Yep, some of them do. And they're self-hating Jews like Karl Marx. But maybe this explains why Biden so loves the red-green axis. Because they hate the Christians and the Jews. And they'll do the terror. So they're going to let them off the list so they can go do their terror. Joining me now is Leo Homan. Leo, this kind of right in your wheelhouse with some of the books and articles you've written, correct?
Absolutely, yes. I believe you call them the junkyard dogs. In the preface to my book, Stealth Invasion, I called them the battering ram of the New World Order and the globalists. I feel like the globalist infiltrators, the regular American liberal, white liberal elite, they're the ones destroying America from within. But there's still going to have to be, at some point, Brannon, the ones in our school system, the ones in the universities, they've been destroying America for decades. But even with all of their destruction, their insidious ideology, you know, telling people there is no biological gender and all of the lies that they try to tell our children, the indoctrination, it's all been very successful in wearing down society in general. But there's still going to come a point when they have to deliver the final crushing blow. And I believe that always usually ends in violence. That's why they're stoking a civil war right now.
Were you hearing what Patrick and I were talking about at all?
No.
Okay, so you don't know. You didn't hear us talking about civil war. You didn't hear that.
No, I've been sitting here doing my own work waiting for you to call.
Okay, so that's the point I wanted to make. You're not responding to what we were saying. You just used the word civil war without knowing we were just talking about civil war.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I have not been listening.
So here we are on the same page.
If I could just finish my point here. When we do get to that point where they feel like society has been sufficiently infiltrated, sufficiently worn down through just one wave of attack after another on the intellectual, societal, cultural level, they're still going to have to unleash the thugs at the end to finish the job when it comes down to that point of civil war. And that's where they are going to unleash these junkyard dogs, as you called them, because do you think that some guy from Afghanistan or Somalia attending a mosque in Michigan or Minnesota or Missouri, or they're all over the place, Kansas, they're in every state now. It's not just a few pockets. They will be the ones who are unleashed on us when it comes down to the point of civil war. Because do you think that, does anybody think that some meathead sitting in an ivory tower in Harvard or Yale who is a complete dipstick liberal, do you think he's going to be the one who wants to take up a gun and start killing his fellow Americans? Most of them will not. They need a more vicious junkyard dog, and that's where these refugees and whatnot will be put into place. Not just refugees from the Islamic world. That's one component. Another component are those coming over the border from, you know, well over 100 different countries. I have been researching today. They've caught 32 in military fatigues this week. Young men of military age wearing military fatigue crossing our borders. This goes on every day. We don't know where they're coming from. but I can guarantee you these are not America-loving, Constitution-loving immigrants. So if people say I'm anti-immigrant, no. I'm like third generation. My grandparents came here as immigrants through Ellis Island. I'm not talking about those type of immigrants. I'm talking about people who come from places in the world that hate America, hate Americans, hate our Constitution, and would absolutely love to have a rifle put in their hands to do the globalist dirty work when it comes down to that endgame scenario.
And even Fox News is reporting yesterday, Border Patrol released suspected terrorist who crossed into U.S. illegally. ICE took weeks to rearrest him. So you're absolutely right. They are... we are getting reports of underground mosques. We had Dave Gobetz on, author of Muslim Mafia, last week. He is talking about underground mosques. They're not registered. They're not above ground. You don't know they exist. There's nothing to show they exist. He was talking about particularly one underground mosque in Michigan. Now they want to start building a building. They're raising money. He talked about their terrorist ties. He went there. He looked at their literature. He got in the building and talked to them. And he's talking about all these mosques that are now trying to build 20,000 square foot rooms, you know, to quote worship and pray or whatever. Why are they needing, why is a group that has 30 or 40 people need 20,000 square feet? They're planning on a huge influx of followers.
Absolutely. And not only that, but they have large footprints for these mosques because they also, in many of them, they have large basements. And what do they store in the basement? Mm-hmm. I don't know. All I do know is people like Dave Gobetz and others who served in Iraq tell me that this is where the weapons are stored, in the mosque that they entered in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, they found that in France.
Why would it be any different here?
They found that in France. People can go look it up. They found military-grade weaponry in the mosque in France. This is back at the Davos. Here is the CEO, Kristen Brathen. She is the, I guess, with a business out of Norway. She's Norwegian finance CEO. And listen to what she has to say.
We need to accept that there will be some pain in the process. The pace that we need will open up for missteps. It will open up for shortages on energy. It will create inflationary pressures. And maybe we need to start talking about that, that pain is actually worth it. Because if we don't, there's no business case, there's no economy, there's no welfare. But so far, I think we have been a little bit careful actually talking about the pain in the short term that is likely to come from this very important change. Yeah.
So there's going to be an energy crisis, and there is going to be shortages and inflation pressure. And now Biden is out this week saying, when it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition. They, you know, when they say you're going to own nothing and be happy, they're going to inflate it away. And of course, now we're seeing that the regulators are coming out and saying that 100 million Americans or more could be without power this summer with rolling blackouts due to energy crisis. Again, this is all being done on purpose. I'll have Leo comment and more clips that we have from Davos. No calls today because we have so much to get to. The globalists are there meeting, and they flew in there with all their private jets. And yet they're telling you, you don't need air conditioning. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to have to move quick to get all these clips in. Here we go. Here's Biden talking about when it comes to gas prices, we're going to go through an incredible transition. We just heard from Norwegian finance CEO saying, yeah, we're going to have energy shortage and inflation pressure. You're just going to have to get used to it, folks. This is part of the Great Reset. Here is Joe.
And when it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it's over, we'll be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over.
Okay, and I think that was him speaking in Japan. Here is Alibaba Group President J. Michael Evans. He boasts at the World Economic Forum about the development of an individual carbon footprint tracker to monitor what you buy, what you eat, and how and where you travel. Can you say Mark of the Beast?
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
And I told you guys, I sure wish I could go back to the show 10 years ago or more, where I told you everything that you buy will be accredited back to your carbon footprint and you'll pay a tax on it. I told you that 10 plus years ago, that every time you heard that beep, beep, beep going across your grocery store checkout lane, you'd be paying for your carbon footprint of that device. And here we go, your consumption, your meat, whatever. All right, on the World Economic Forum panel, on a reimagined global tax system, the executive director of this group calls for a 25% corporate tax rate. Folks, they just passed that on to the customers. You know that, right? Here we go.
So if in Pillar 2, the percentage, the tax rate had been higher at 25%, which was actually what was recommended by groups of tax experts the world over, and actually connects with the rates in some of the economies that are participating in the deal, then $17 billion more dollars would be raised for the developing world, for least developed countries and middle income countries, than is the case now with the 15%. So 15% is too low, and it's driven by some of the tax havens that actually are pulling down. So, you know, on the positive side, of course, it's closing loopholes on tax havens. And as you said from my quote at the beginning, that we believe that's extremely important. And that's good. But we are worried that this will be a race to the bottom, further race to the bottom in terms of corporate taxation. And countries that have higher rates might go down. And what we know from previous critical moment experienced by the whole world in World War II, taxes were raised significantly. And corporate taxation in the US was very high, and it kept being very high for many years. And that coincided with high growth periods. So I'm sure the professor can speak of that.
All right. So. Higher corporate tax, 25%. They actually put that on high speed. They turned that speed up on that one. You could tell by watching it, not much less listening to it. She doesn't really talk that fast. But 25% tax rate. Okay, here's the Australian e-safety commissioner, Julian Inman Grant, tells the World Economic Forum, we need a recalibration of freedom of speech.
We are finding ourselves in a place where we have increasing polarization everywhere, and everything feels binary when it doesn't need to be. So I think we're going to have to think about a recalibration of a whole range of human rights that are playing out online, you know, from freedom of speech to the freedom to, you know, to be free from online violence, or the right of data protection to the right to child dignity.
Oh, wow. All right. CNN anchor, chairman of Credit Suisse, and France's top central banker, Giddily discussed the arrival of central bank digital currencies within 5 years at the World Economic Forum.
Fast forward 5 years. Do we have a central bank digital coin out there in the world that is being utilized on a daily basis, whether it's wholesale or retail, and it becomes a superior system? Francois? Yes,
we have several experiments which are not very far from that. No. They are not yet generalized, but they could be, let's say, the next 3 years probably. It will go quicker on the wholesale side,
yes.
I guess, because it raises less sensitive questions.
Yes. Axel.
No, I'm quite glad to hear what you're saying, François, on the wholesale digital currency, not coin. I am also a believer that will come in 5 years, yes. What I try to say is obviously, you know, we still have those huge legacy environment. They need to migrate as well, so we will not yet see all the benefits coming through. But it will come and will be much more efficient, also probably much more secure, lowering transaction costs. On the retail side, I'm much more skeptical. Certainly call it for the, you know, established economies.
One guy says 3 years, the other guy says 5 years, and there you go. Leo, you want to comment on all these clips? I mean, these guys have it. They're from every, you know, everything you heard there, that kind of wraps up the Great Reset, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I mean, it's unbelievable the sweeping scope of this agenda. You know, what do they want? They want to limit your mobility and your freedom of movement. What do we see right now? Record high gas and diesel prices. They want to limit what's on your dinner table. What do we see? Record high meat prices. They want to limit your personal health care choices. What do they tell us? Get your shot or you can't work and you can't go and buy and sell in certain places. They tell us we need less free speech. That free speech is just not in our future. And voila, what happens? Almost every Western nation in recent months has either implemented or proposed implementing some type of disinformation governance board, like we saw Biden try to do. This is on a grand global scale. Every formerly free Western nation is doing it. Oh, and by the way, they want you not to procreate. And what happens if you get one of their injections? Oh, it just happens to make you sterile. You know, it goes on and on from there, Brannon, but this is their agenda. It's playing out in real time, and the governments of the formerly free Western nations are all on board. By the way, Russia is not on board. That's why you see them being demonized and isolated right now.
But you did hear Kissinger say that Ukraine is going to have to give up some land to Russia.
I did hear that, which was very surprising. I don't know if you and Patrick talked about that or not.
Yes, we did, just briefly.
He is a bit of a Kissinger expert, and I would like to get his thoughts on that. But, Russia, did not send a delegation to Davos, and Russia has also taken the first step to pull out of the World Health Organization. So there's lots going on worldwide right now. The West is the leader of this global government push, and it is the hard push right now.
Okay, quick,
their final stage.
Quick answer. Are we headed for a civil war in America, yes or no?
Yes.
What's the time frame? Do you have one?
It could be as quick as 3 to 6 months, or it could be sometime in 2023. Definitely by 2024.
Wow. LeoHolman.com. LeoHolman.com. Not something we want, folks. All I say, EV Solar Jesus, quickly come and night shall be no more. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.